Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
A warm welcome to this Friday's racing postcast. Myself, Dave Orton, in the chair, and what a stellar cast I've got for you. Lucky people out there. Graham Wadway from Trading Post joins me. Betting editor Keith Melrose comes in the studio as well. And on the phone, delighted to welcome back Frank Hickey from Paddy Power. Gentlemen, we've got such a plethora of action. Donny, of course, lovely to have jump racing back at Donny. The ground's finally come good again there. But of course, really the main action is all about Prestbury Park and the Caskey and Caviar Gold Cup meeting. Let's get straight into it, if you don't mind. Frank, I'm going to come to you first. Prices on the big one before we talk about a rather controversial story.
Yeah, we have joined favourites now at the moment. Sea Page and Secret Investor are both 5-1. Clondalk Castle, Breeland Das, and Not That Foosie are 7-1. Boomerang Pat 9-1. Warthog is 10-1, and we're 12-1 bar.
Right, who's going to start? All of a sudden, punters have been looking at this race thinking, oh, we've got one here that could just be different class to them. And lo and behold, Friday, the Racing Post breaks. Riders on the Storm, Anti-Post favourite. Keith, has come to you first. What on earth has gone on here? Not running.
Well, we don't, in terms of the admin side, I'm sure our news desk will pick that up and find out what's happened. There's a lot of panic going on at the moment. But we were talking about it before we came on as punters. It's almost to the race's benefit because before I'm looking at this race and there's 5 or 6 horses that are 8 out of 10 interesting. And you had one horse that was 10 out of 10 interesting. Him being out of the race now, it just blows the race apart. There's about 5 or 6 horses in this race that you would be really keen on for most, even big handicaps. And now they're all coming in as sort of, it's about picking a primus inter pares, isn't it? Rather than looking at this one potential standout.
What sort of price, Frank, would you have expected Riders on the Storm to go off? What, 7-2-ish mark, Frank, if he'd have actually been allowed to run?
Yeah, I would think so. Like, we'd a bit of a difference in the room of how sharp we would have went. I would have been extremely keen on him. I actually backed him on Monday for this race, and I also backed him for the Ryanair later in the year. So I'm pretty disappointed that this has happened. But I think he would have been in around the 3-1 mark, potentially. So it's a big blow. But as Keith has said there, it's definitely opened the race up. You can make a case for a number here. But Riders in the Storm, yeah, I think it's a blow because he was so impressed with Aintree. And you would have thought he would progress again in the form as franked with Old Grangewood beating Kalashnikov at Newbury. So, yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed, but it's probably a more competitive race as a result.
And that had actually backed him, chaps. Like, I imagine loads of people listening and watching this would have done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of firms are refunding now. Franco can confirm what Paddy Power have done. I believe all bets refunded. Is that right?
We voided all bets.
And we're not under any obligation to do that, Frank.
No, it's
the right thing to do, isn't it?
It's a goodwill gesture, but I mean, you know, it's not a fault. It's not like the horse is injured or sick. It's I suppose you call it a clerical error. So look, we think it's only fair to give the funds back. Like, yeah, it's just disappointing. I think it's only fair to give punters their money back in that situation. They've done nothing wrong at all there, and yeah.
Absolutely. And the worst part for punters actually in this, and apart from getting your voided stakes back, is that this thing's probably going to turn up here in the race on New Year's Day or on Trials Day, and it's going to go off all the short, isn't it? It's going to be 7-4 on New Year's Day now, isn't it? And because of all the sort of Ferrari that's going on around it.
All right, okay, he's gone. What? No, there will be no storm coming over the hill. What is going to come over the hill? Seapage just about may go off favourite now, Rodders, who have obviously chased him home, Riders on the Storm at Aintree. Marker 155, talk to me about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a typical sort of Venetia horse, really, and he just keeps on improving.
Very likeable sort.
Yeah, I just thought that maybe he'd reached his ceiling at that sort of rating. You never quite know with Venetia, because they do tend to improve, don't they, massively. The two I was interested in, Good Man Pat for
now we're
Alan King,
ran
very well. Yeah, that's got over 3 miles. Sort of shaped as though this drop-in trip would suit him. A bit of a worry over his jumping. He's been a bit haphazard in the past, and in these sorts of races around Cheltenham, you put in a few mistakes, you don't always come out that well. But let's hope that he can put in a clean run. He certainly looked better in that department at Ascot first time up, so maybe they've done some work on him. And I'm going to throw in Knock Na Nuss at a huge price.
Yeah, we spoke off air about this. You love this chap, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, he's got all the ability in the world, and I fancied him quite a bit for this Bet Victor Gold Cup earlier in the year.
What went wrong?
Well, they didn't run, did they? And then they ended up running in the race at Ascot over two miles. And yeah, I mean, he went off too fast, didn't he? He went off with the headgear on. Yeah, with the headgear on. And I just thought that he ran an amazing race, really. He was still in there pitching, turning for home. And he didn't capitulate as badly as the other one who was up there. And I thought that going back up in Trip might suit him. Now, there's a lot of question marks over his stamina. You know, he's going to be blasting off up there, but I'm not worried at all. One of his best runs came over the Trip at Plumpton when he finished second to, Master Dino,
serious animal.
Yeah, looked good, didn't he? And funny enough, good man Pat was third, seven lengths behind him.
He was.
So I don't think that was bad form. So yeah, they're the two for me. I mean, I should probably say like a forecast as well, just in case, because we've been close to a few of those this year.
Just to make it easy for everyone out there, I'm going to throw a few stats at you chaps just before we go to Keith for his idea of what might win the race. You had to have won over 2.4 miles at least, not Nanous. Sorry, Graham, he hasn't. 10 out of the last 10, but stats smat, say, Graham. Statters that matters, as people say. But the huge stat in this race, we reel it out each year, and it's not until the day before or Kevin Morley sends out his trends that I see this. Not since 1991 has a horse not been around Cheltenham before and won this race. Secret Investor, for example, he's won. Who's the other one? Robin DeForey, Mullins' horse that's coming over. So some big, big stats that they've got to overcome. Have I mentioned your idea of the winner, Keith?
Not yet. I mean, Graham's sort of got quite close to it in a sense with Not Nanous, because I think one of the big keys to this race is Not Nanous and Imperial Presence. They couldn't be held together over 2 miles at Ascot last time. They still went too hard. So what they're going to do, along with Warthog being in there, and even Sepage himself, he likes to stride on. I think this could be an absolutely blistering pace, this race. And I think Not Nanous might not even be the most talented hard-pulling Gary Moore horse in this race. Benatar is the one. He's a horse that he might just be absolutely loopy, and he had looked that way in the past. He is. He really is a hard puller. Showed lots of ability when third in the GLT, I think, the other year.
Form.
Yeah, very good Cheltenham form. They stuck the hood on today for the first time, overdue a go in a hood, that horse. And, you know, with those horses in there that are going to make this a really well-run race, if he doesn't settle tomorrow, or he doesn't settle in this race, well, he's never going to settle, is he? So he's got so much ability off that sort of mark, 1.48 I think it is, and this is the time to chance him. I've spoke to Gary Moore from our news desk today. He says he's got him fit. You know, you take what trainers say as they come, and you know, he's not run since January, so you like to hear that the horse is here to have a go and run a big race here. And I think he, like I've said to you, there's so many you could back in this race. He'll be probably my main bet in the race, but Secret Vest is another one I like the look of. I think Goodman Pat and Not That Fweezy are horses I would definitely be backing in a lot of races like this. But the competition is so hot here that you think, well, the fact that neither of those two have particularly impressed with their jumping is just enough to take them off the top of the shortlist.
That's the worry for me with Not That Fweezy, who has unquestionably been minded with his mark for the step back up to 2.4 miles.
Yeah, they've kept him running in non-grade one, class one novices.
Very being good, shrewd move, yeah.
Well, it's a shrewd move to a rule that, in my opinion, shouldn't be there, but that's for another time. Non-class one races, get placed, you won't get put up. He's been running in good ones against good horses and in small fields, but he's not been jumping all that well.
Yes, against Sal Dancer, he made loads of mistakes, didn't he? Flew up over 2 miles.
And he's been plotted at one of these big handicaps. This is the day. He's come in off a mark that's really looks quite attractive on some of his best hurdles form and on his chase form if he can take it as red. So he's got to be strongly considered, but as I say, need to improve that jumping a bit.
That three out will worry any backers if he's coming there swinging, won't it? Okay, so there's some interesting hopes from the chaps. Frank, what everyone's been waiting for, who are you going to get your riders on the Storm money back with?
I don't know. Benatar is very interesting. The hood could be a key to him. Like, it might help him settle. If it does, he's definitely got the ability to win this. I think the one I'm going to come down on, I was just disappointed because I thought I've the Caspian Caviar race sort. I don't need to look at it. I can just bang on about Riders on the Storm and why he was going to win and put him up for the Ryanair. And then obviously this morning's news is disappointing. But the one I came down on when I priced up the race was Goodman Pat, Brandon King. Rogers there has given a good reason to why he's interesting. Like last year, his jumping wasn't great last year, but it was a lot more likely to ask at the last day. Travelled well into the race. I think that might be a decent enough race, even though it could be underestimated because it was a big price winner that day. The third claw cap is one that I plan tomorrow at Doncaster. I think the drop in Trip, if he jumps like he did at Ascot, he's definitely well handicapped off 136. Like, he's only gone off 12-1 to the Close Brothers last year off America 139. They obviously felt he was reasonably well handicapped then. Yeah, if his jumping holds up, I think he's got a really solid each way chance.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well. And Warthog, I'd mention him. 5 of the last 10 have come from the Bet Victor. If he, it depends how they want to treat him, I guess, with that run style, doesn't it? So,
well, absolutely. And he was entered in the 2 mile race on the same card and hasn't been declared for that. They've chosen to run him in this race.
He's undoubtedly well handicapped, I think.
Yeah. I think so. They need to find sort of what's best for him. He's going to get taken on over a trip that probably stretches his stamina, which is the doubt. But apart from that, I mean, easy to see him running a big race. And what we should say is that in normal circumstances, races over 2.5 miles at Cheltenham with those 3 early fences does really get a pecking order established early.
Agreed.
And they often don't come back, but. Yeah. Tomorrow could be an exception if some of these real loopy horses go off like they promised to.
What an absorbing race the feature is then. That's at 155. Let's move on. The 230, another cracker for us. Albert Bartlett, novice hurdle, grade 2, over 3 miles. He's been won by the likes of Konigree recently as a Gold Cup winner. You know what I mean. Harry took it before he went on to success at the festival and killed Brickham Storm a couple of seasons ago. Frank, give us the market rundown before we have a look at a few of the runners.
Champagne Well is 11-4 of Voltour. 4-1, Igor 9-2, Kiltili Briggs 5-1, The Mulcair 11-2, Mossy Fenn 6-1, Redford Road 7-1, and Tensbar.
We've got to start with Valtor, haven't we? Yeah. What a fascinating animal. 10-year-old running in a novice hurdle. Worked at Ascot, but will it work in these grade 2s? We were talking off air earlier. I said it's difficult for anti-post punters, isn't it? When you've got a very classy horse that can revert to novice hurdles early in the season and wins some of these key trials, what are you going to do? You know, fingers on the buzzers in the anti-post markets. He's going to be 11 come the festival. He's not going to win an Albert Bartlett, is he, Keith?
Well, you wouldn't think so. I mean, you'd think he's had a few goes now over hurdles and it's still his form, the level of form he's showing is still so much below what he's capable of over fences that horse of his age doing that sort of thing, you've got to say, I don't think he's ever going to be quite as good dropping back over hurdles. And a lot of horses like that. You see horses that improve so much moving from hurdles to fences. So we shouldn't be surprised to see horses that come the other way not able to replicate their chasing form, because it's not always a natural progression that leads horses to improve over fences. It's the fact that they're better chasers, that when there are fences to jump in a race, that's when they're better suited. So yeah. While obviously he's in there in the mix in this race, I think you can, anybody banking on him matching his chasing form is possibly on some bit of a loser there.
That's interesting, isn't it? They're Marmite, these horses, G, aren't they? These horses that, you know, you see them over fences, as Keith says, and they turn out under, you know, a penalty or something like that, and you're thinking, well, they're rated so much higher over. It doesn't always work out at all, does it?
No, I mean, Keith hit the nail on the head, really. It's just, he's rated 161, I think, Racing Post ratings. He ran 2 last season or the season before over fences at Ascot. I mean, if he gets anywhere near that sort of standard, then they won't see which way he goes.
Grand National, potentially, are they thinking that way with him? Could they be protecting a mark or something? Maybe. Or has he just become very hard to place over fences?
I mean, the other thing is, it's Ascot form, isn't it? And Ascot form can still be a little bit of a law unto itself. So 161 is a positive reading of the form and might also be something you can't really replicate elsewhere.
With or against, chaps, just quickly?
I'm against Valtor, for sure. I mean, I think he's definitely vulnerable to an improver like Champagne Well. He heads the market. He's got all this form at Cheltenham, which is great. He handles soft ground. I mean, he ran over 3 miles last year, was fairly good at Aintree, behind Champ and Emma Tom. They're real top-class novices, and he looks even better than ever this season. I was at Cheltenham when he won first time out. He was quite impressive. And then last time out, 3 lengths behind Time Hill. Time Hill looks the best novice in Britain at the moment. I'll be very disappointed if Champagne Well don't win this.
He could go off favourite for the Challo, we're thinking, at Newbury a little bit later on Time Hill. So Champagne Well, I agree. The race could be run to suit. You mentioned Ascot form. Igor, who caused a bit of an upset there last time. You know, another second season novice. Looked like a massively improved performer though that day.
Well, he's a theme of a lot of the horses in this race. A lot of them are stepping up from every day. I say every day, maybe class 3, class 2. So the better sort of standard novices and coming up into a much higher grade. And that's part of one of the interesting parts about the race is Champagne Well as well. He's the only one with graded novice hurdle form and he's testing Time Hill's form. So that'll be an interesting angle in this race. I wouldn't pretend this is my particular area of expertise, but I have looked through a lot of these horses' runs recently and before they've stepped up. And the one who caught my eye as somebody who I think is going to improve a little bit more is Mossy Fenn. I looked at that Aintree run and he idled like mad. When he got to the front, he didn't do an awful lot. And the form since has been advertised relatively well. The second ran well enough while not staying up in trip. And the third landed odds as he was expected to back down in grade. So, you know, that's a solid bit of form instead of a really, really good one. But Mossy Fenn could have run half a stone higher if he really applied himself and went on with it. So of those, you know, they're all, we're all
taking, under the radar, you say.
A little bit. A lot of horses in a race are like that. You know, they're all stepping out at those sort of levels, and it's a case of open the box and see what's there when they all get together. Mossy Fenn is the one that I thought, having seen how he's shaped, might have a little bit more to come than maybe immediately meets the eye.
Justice has won this something like three times in the last 10 years as well. Frank, are you mad keen on one here, or is this just an informative watch race for you?
It's an interesting race. Mossy Fenn is interesting. I think he's owned by the same owners as Riders on the Storm, so maybe they might get a bit of compensation. He'd definitely be on my shortlist. The one I was willing to take a chance on, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him drift later on this afternoon when everyone sits down to price up this race, is Kiltealy Briggs for Jamie Snowden. Of course, he had a cracking weekend last weekend with Heron Heights winning the Grand Theft of the Aintree. But this horse was only beaten a neck and a point, went for, I think, 70,000 sterling afterwards. The horse that beat him, Prince Cave, won a nice enough hurdle race up in Ayr a few weeks back, winning quite impressively, actually. He was behind Redford Road then, Kiltealy Briggs, in his bumper debut, but 2 miles around Warwick would definitely be against him. He was made his handicap or his hurdles debut at Wincanton over two miles five on good ground. He was only caught in the last stride by Dolphin Square, who's a useful mark. But he went to Hexham the last day. Look, it wasn't a great race, but it was testing ground over 2.5 miles, and he absolutely bolted up by 36 lengths. Now, when the race wasn't the strongest, the second had run behind Ribble Valley of Nicky Richards on his hurdles debut, and was only 9 lengths behind that horse. That's pretty okay form, I think. This Kiltealy Briggs is really going to improve, I think, the step up 3 miles. Like, you know, Hexham, it's not the most highly regarded track in the country. But if you can stay 2.5 in heavy ground there and be strong all the way through the race, you can stay anywhere. You're a stayer. Like, it gets really testing. So I've no issue with his stamina at all. I just think you might get 7 or 8 to 1 maybe this afternoon, and that would definitely tempt me in if you were getting that sort of price.
So the more you look at this, this is going to be a mad keen betting heat, isn't it? For what it's worth, I think Champagne Well's pretty solid at the top there. But the more I hear the chaps, the more I might question that. Okay, let's move on again. 3.05, an absolute belter. Been won by some top champion hurdlers over the years. The Unibet International Hurdle Grade 2. Frank, I want you to give us the market lowdown, please, and then give us your idea of the winner. I'm really fascinated to see which way you're headed there.
Yeah, so Pendle Hills is 5-4, Chitabella 5-2, Call Me Lord 9-2, Elixir de Nuit 13-2, Monsieur Lecoq 9-1, Le Patre 10-1, and we're 16s bar. Look, I suppose Pendle Hills is the one to beat. Like, his juvenile form looks quite solid. Now, it can be very difficult for the 4-year-olds when they go into open company, but like Backer Dudare is obviously improved for going chasing, and Course of Blind was very impressive up and down Royal. But at 5-4, I think it takes a pretty decent 4-year-old to make a mark in these sort of races, and I definitely try to take him on at that sort of price. Chitabello as well looked short enough, 5-2. And I'm going to take a chance on one returning from a bit of an absence. I kind of liked Elixir de Nuit for the Supreme last year. He'd obviously won the Tallworth at Sandown. That form is reasonably solid. The second won the Kingwell Hurdle at Wincanton, beating Soreal. He obviously had an issue, missed Cheltenham. But then when I was looking at the race, there's not that much pace there, and he potentially could get a little bit of a freebie in front. Like, Call Me Lord form is all right-handed. I'd be very much against him going left-handed now. Monsieur Lecoq probably wants even more testing ground, and I'd be surprised if any of the rest were good enough. So, yeah, at the prices, I'd probably take a chance on Elixir de Nuit being fit for his return.
Gave him loads of time, didn't they? I fancied him for the Supreme at a decent price. Looking at the way the race was run as well, there went no gallop. He'd got a nice, easy lead as well. And so I was counting my anti-post wounds there. He's fascinating. I'm surprised they're not going fencing with him, actually, as well. So perhaps they think that they've got a champion hurdler here, Keith. He's never had one in a trial, he thinks, Colin Tizard. Is this one you'd be interested in coming back?
Well, that's. I think we've all hinted at there what I've sort of come down on with Alexei Donuts. When I first looked at this race, I thought, right, I'm going to be back in this horse. And then I looked at the form in a bit more depth, and I thought, well, actually, I'm not sure the form's actually all that.
Grand Sancy beat, didn't he? Was
yeah, Grand Sancy. But Grand Sancy's really improved of late. I'm not sure back then he was representing.
He's a bit underrated, Grand Sancy.
Well, yeah, it could be. I think last week he shaped pretty well when he went chasing ultimately. But I looked at Alexei Donuts. I saw the size of him. I saw how he shaped in that race, and I thought, yeah, he's a good horse. I was right, he was a good horse, but he's a 2.5 mile plus chaser. I'm not sure he'll make into a champion hurdle horse on that basis. And I thought the one that I was interested in, and Frank's hit on the sort of doubt about it, is Call Me Lord. Now he's never run a left-handed in Britain.
This is going to be one of those bets, isn't it? That is it one that you just wait until they've just maybe gone over a couple, or I mean, because we just don't know, do we, how he's going to handle this left-handed track?
I watched him jumping at Ascot, and he actually jumped slightly left.
He looked the winner throughout the whole race until the last. I backed him that day. Mm. And of course, if the cat fits, just gamely did him, didn't he?
The horse that stays better than he does, beat him for stamina. And it was his first run of the season too. You know, he's got loads of more form at 2 miles. Third in an Imperial Cup of 160. You know, absolutely impossible to crab that sort of level of form. Potentially could have won, beaten a grade one winner in the Ascot Hurdle last time. And yeah, the left-handed thing is definitely what people are going to point at and go, yeah, I can't have that. But watch Ascot, jumps left. The horse, I see no reason to think this horse isn't going to suit going left-handed. And, you know, with form at Ascot and at Sandown, I'm not worried about hills. I'm not worried about going uphill and down Dale. So I think you can weed out all the doubts about this horse. And at 9-2 on form, he's an absolute steal. And I agree with the general point as well, that I think Pentland Hills, while he might win, is a really tempting price to take on at 5-4.
First time out, of course, they were talking about maybe going to the Christmas Hurdle with Pentland Hills, weren't they? They plumped for this race, of course, stablemate of Call Me Lord. That's the fascinating thing for me about this race. Which way is Pentland Hills going to go in the market? Because that will tell us exactly the sort of confidence carried behind Call Me Lord, who I know you like, Rodders, don't you?
I think you're absolutely nuts if you're backing Pentland Hills at 5-4.
Four-year-olds have won this race. Old Guard did it a couple of years ago. I think he won the Greatwood Hurdle, didn't he? And then Gavin did it.
Again, this race is The quality really varies year to year. Sometimes it's a champion hurdle and all.
You've got my tent or yours, the new one. Yeah, also, yeah.
Sometimes it's not. And I think you just...
There are no obvious stars in the race at this stage.
I mean, Pentland Hills could well be the X Factor. He could be the star in the race. But, I mean, he's got to improve massively.
Keeps winning.
He's got to improve massively. I mean, Racing Post ratings have him running to a high of 148 in the Triumph. Now, I know he's only a four-year-old. He can only get to a certain level at four. But Call Me Lord have run to 161 in the last two starts. You know, so that,
and he's had the run.
That makes him £13 to find with Call Me Lord. And he's got to give Call Me Lord £3. So that's £16. I know he's only four. I know he's the X Factor. Could well make the improvement. I'm not saying he's not going to. But do you really want to take 5-4 about him doing that?
So we're expecting this chap to drift then, aren't we?
Price. It's a nuts price. Call Me Lord. I mean, yeah, all his form is right-handed. But how many times has he run left-handed in Britain? None.
Nicky Anderson won the first two races on Friday. So, you know, the team are great. The confidence will be there.
He flew every flight at Ascot, and he went slightly to the left. I watched that race, like Keith did, very closely, just to see if he was going right at his hurdles. I didn't see him going right at his hurdles. If anything, as Keith said, he was going out to the left. I just think this track thing's a red herring. And if it is, I mean, on form, he should be 9-4, 2-1.
Fascinating.
I mean, the thing is, you are worried, even though we've seen him jump at Ascot and seen him jump out to the left, the fact that they've had a horse that's of grade one standard or grade two standard at the very least, and they've always run him at Wincanton and always run him at Sandown and Ascot, makes you think maybe there's something we've not seen on the race course.
Well, I did his race when he won. He hosed up at the end of the season at Sandown. I did it in the analysis department. And all the quotes we were getting was, this thing will not go left-handed. This is our problem. Is he a stayer's hurdle horse? The drop-back in trip, I think, is absolutely fascinating, the way he travelled at Ascot first time out. So it's going to be one of those, isn't it? If he does, then we're looking at a real flyer here.
Well, and you've got to look at what, I mean, yes, a horse might show at home that it wants to go right-handed, but I don't think Pentland Hills was showing like he was a Triumph Hurdle winner at home, by all things I can gather.
Compton, he made his debut at, with all due respect.
Henderson has used that race with good horses in the past, to be fair. Right. So he has, I think he won a Triumph with a horse that debuted in it before Pentland Hills.
Right.
So he does use it with horses he fancies, but you know, it went off, what, 20s for the Triumph. You know, they didn't know they were sitting on a 150 plus horse, did they?
Well, it was a funny race to Triumph, of course, as we know.
Yeah. So, Graham's absolutely right. The form, you know, second season hurdles that make up into champion hurdle horses, the vast majority of them started rated higher than Pentland Hills. And that's whether he can improve is obviously a question we need to answer, but the bare facts are he needs to make more improvement than the average second season hurdle that's got designs in the champion.
Utterly fascinating race, perhaps the most fascinating race anywhere this weekend, and it will show us a real, you know, indication of how this champion hurdle division is going. Bouvdaire beaten, of course, on his return. Right, final race on television for you at Prestbury Park is the 340, the Cheltenham Mares, Park Mares Handicap Hurdle Class 2. I don't know where you go with this, chaps, but we'll get the market off Frank in just a sec, but These mares races, you either, I don't know, sometimes I look at them and think, I'm going to skirt over this one. I actually really like one of this. I'll get to it in a bit. But mares races, more of them, less of them?
No, I don't really like them, to be honest, especially when we have to keep having more championship races at Cheltenham, which Willie Mullins
was all about 10 in and improving and the programme, which they've done, haven't they? 100%.
It'd be those races, aren't they? They're not punters races.
No, we do, you know, we're punters. Do we want to be betting mares at...
Mares are naturally more... one of the earliest things I was taught in racing, mares are less consistent than geldings because you don't get a gelding in season.
Yeah, it's only Nick Watts that's mad enough to come on this desk that breeds horses, isn't it? Let's go to Hickey now for the market, please, Mr. Frank. What have we got? I'm expecting you to say that Dame de Compagnie, I think that's how we pronounce it, might be favourite.
It is indeed. It's 5-2, Vision de Poy, 11-2, and we have Indefatigable, Queen's Cave, both 6-1, Misty Bloom, 9-1, Lust for Glory, 10-1, our 12-1 bar.
Oh, I think, Frank, you might have just mentioned the win there at 10-1. Lust for Glory. Look back at her Ascot run last time. It was big. Of course, the favourite is also trained by Nicky Henderson, Dame de Compagnie. Beaten favourite, Frank, on its return. Is this one you're going to try and get, or are you going to be with it?
It was an eye-catcher in the Greatwood, and you could make a case for being very well handicapped off 132. But personally, I think there's one in here that potentially very well handicapped off a mark of 128, and that's Queen's Cave for David Pipe. This horse very lightly raced, only had 5 runs under rules, was a wide margin winner of a point in November 2017. Won its bumper at Utoxeter very easily by 5 lengths, was touched off at Sandown in the listed mares bumper by Queen of Hearts. Of course, she's a useful enough, she was a useful novice hurdler last year, and was pulled up at air on Hurling's debut in January this year. When 1-14, clearly had an issue, was off the track then onto reappearing at Chepstow, was second to Silver Forever, and that was a decent run off the back of the slight issue, and won very easily at Exeter the last day. Just off that Chepstow run alone, you could definitely make a case for it being well handicapped. The third, Kisses for Katie, has won easily since Silver Forever's rated 138, the winner. The fourth, Just a Thought, was second at Chepstow off a mark of 120. And she was 5 lengths behind Queen's Cave. So I think we're 5 places in this race as well. 6-1 mightn't interest some people each way. I'd be very disappointed if she didn't hit the frame at least. And if I think Dame de Compagnie is the one that could be absolutely chopped in, but Queen's Cave would be the one I'd definitely be backing.
I think after that glowing endorsement, Frank, a lot of people are going to be taking that price. Graham.
Funny, isn't it? I mean, just completely slagged off mares races for not being great betting heats.
This is You're all over one.
This is actually one of the betting heats of the day, isn't it? You know, I mean, I do fancy one at a big old price here, Midnight Referendum. I'm hoping it might be a King's good day for Alan King.
Yes.
Because obviously I've tipped good man Pat in the big race.
I mean, I'm having to go right down the list here, Graham.
Yeah, this is going to be a huge old price. But I thought this was very impressive when it won at Warwick last season. On his final start, it was really travelled nicely through the race. And it was a big, big improvement. And I thought, yeah, she looks like she's improving. And she comes up first time out, Wincanton, was very disappointing this year. But Alan King said in his stable tour straight afterwards that the combination of 2 miles, 6.5 furlongs on very testing ground just found her out first time out. And she's also really comes on a lot for her run. He said that's very strange because she doesn't carry a lot of condition at home, but she always improves significantly for her first run. So I think you can pretty much put a line through that run. So if you go back and put a line through that run and she's coming in here straight off that impressive victory at Warwick, I think she's then at least half that price. And then you add on the fact that that day she was ridden by Wayne Hutchinson. This day she's ridden by Alexander Fawn, claiming £7. Now I know you're going to say, who the hell's Alexander Fawn?
He's talented, isn't he?
But, I mean, he is an excellent £7 claimer. He's well worth £7. I mean, he is basically almost gifted this £7. So she gets another £7 off her back. I think if she runs to that level that she showed at Warwick, I think she'll be hard to beat here. And she should handle any sort of ground. She's got form on good, form on soft. She's by Midnight Legend. I usually go and plenty of cut. I'm not concerned about conditions. I really fancy her. A double figure price. It's probably going to be at 20, 25 to 1 Midnight Referendum each way.
You're going tomorrow, of course.
I am.
That's the one you're looking forward to?
Yeah. Hopefully I've had a winner before then. No, I don't want to be coming in at the last race bear with me begging, but I'm hoping for that 3-1.
Four otherwise of that grimace face that you can pull. Keith, pull this one out of the fire for us.
Well, you've already stolen my thunder. I fancy Lust for Glory. I mean, it's a race, a lot of unexposed mares that anything could, a lot of them could
really be good handicap now we're talking really about, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
Lust for Glory's last run at Ascot was her best by quite a long way, and I thought that Sam Withey-Cohen was potentially a little bit late in pressing the button. You know, she travelled really well into it.
Easy to back, I think, wasn't she that day?
She was as well. And I think I think they were basically coming to the last before he thought, oh yeah, let's go for her now. And he did, and she was staying on at the finish. But that wasn't necessarily that she'd desperate for a step up and trip. It's more that, you know, I thought that maybe he'd waited a little bit longer than he ought to have to let her go. And now she's stepping up in trip. She is by getaway out of a presenting mare, I think. And that tells you that she's obviously very much jump spread and probably going to benefit for going up in trip ultimately. I thought she was a really interesting runner.
The Wadey Curran supporter, of course, not so sleepy, was a tear away winner that chasing pack. I thought she was one of the eye catchers. So look, I looked at these mares races, not, you know, I think, oh, am I going to have a bet in this? I thought this was an extremely absorbing class two. Okay, that's Cheltenham done. After this advert, let's have a look at Donny.
So does an each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Moving on, and we've got Doncaster coming back into the jump season about time too. And some really interesting and informative races. Let's start off, go straight through these. Be succinct if we can here, I think, chaps. Small fields, it's not going to be too hard, is it? The December Novices Chase over 3 miles, grade two. Been won by some really good horses over the years, Robway. Which one did you think was going to come out on top?
Yeah, a bit of a disappointing field, isn't it, for this, because only three in it, is it? And yeah. I think the favourite win, Windsor Avenue for Brian Ellison.
Against Sam Spinner and I Wright, of course.
Yeah, and Sam Spinner's obviously going to go out there and make it a test, and they're all going to have to go to beat him. But I just thought that this Windsor Avenue was an improving type. He looked smart on his first two starts over fences. His win around Sedgefield was particularly impressive. I know that this is a big step up, but I think Windsor Avenue will win.
Keith?
Yeah, I don't know what the prices actually are. Graham's been very confident in saying that'll be favourite. But, you know, part of me is thinking that taking on Sam Spinner, who's going to go off a lot shorter than he probably deserves to in these big races all season, is a good thing to do. Very small horse, I'm not sure he's ultimately going to take to it. His best chance here of beating Windsor Avenue, I do agree that he's the likeliest winner, Windsor Avenue, is making it a real test, because yeah. Windsor Avenue's got a proper jumps pedigree, but he's actually showed a lot of speed so far, hasn't he? So if he goes out and makes it a proper test of stamina, that's going to, you know, Windsor Avenue is the one whose stamina would cut out earliest of the three horses in this race, I suspect. But I think he'll win unless it turns into a really, really dotty test.
Well, you mentioned there, Keith, that Sam Spinner is going to go off a bit shorter than he ought to. He started chasing late in life, of course. Frank, is he going to go off favourite here?
Sam Spinner?
Yeah.
I believe he will, but maybe...
What's him at the minute?
We're 10 to 11, Sam Spinner, 6 to 5, Windsor Avenue, 8 to 1, I Wright. Now, I actually priced this race anti-post on Monday, and I thought Windsor Avenue may go to the 2.5 mile race to Cheltenham. So I was a big price Windsor Avenue, and anyone who managed to get the 6 to 1 that we were would be delighted with the position. But Sam Spinner was put in 130 and 3 to 1 with opposition, which I thought was quite big. I got involved that price. I'm quite happy to see the race cut up. Sorry for the after timing on the price, but this race, like, I get what they're coming with. Windsor Avenue is probably a more natural jumper, and he's definitely showed a lot of speed, but I just question the form. The Sedgefield race was a nothing race because Western Rider jumped terribly that day. So the horse he beat, Nakura, was rated 104th time. Now, he has subsequently won a handicap very easily, and I think he's gone up to about 120. The next day against Ballymoy, again, was very impressive. And at the time, you're saying, Jesus, Ballymoy is a good yardstick. But Ballymoy was kicked out of the way by Knight and Spy subsequently. So I just question the form. And like, while he is a bit more natural looking over fences, Sam Spinner has some unbelievable form. He's a Grey Old winner over hurdles. He's obviously second in last year's Stairs hurdle. The first day of Weatherby, he definitely took his time to warm to chasing. I don't know if anyone remembers, he looked well beaten halfway down the back. And next thing, he's flying home up the straight. That was only over 2 miles, 3.5 furlongs. The trip would have been sharp enough for him, and it was a much better performance, I thought, the last day over 3 miles. Albeit, again, he got better as the race went on with his fencing. Now, if he goes out in front and is able to kind of make it a bit of a test, I think Windsor Avenue will have to be very good and show plenty of stamina to beat him. And I'm pretty hopeful of affecting my anti bet.
Well, that's the thing with Sam Spinner, isn't it? That you know, he's what, 15 hands or something. He's a very, very small horse. And I thought, Frank refers to the first day he went chasing, I thought he was scared of the fences. He got better as the race went on.
There's a reason why they've been waiting so long.
Because he's tiny.
Yeah.
And I just,
he's a very good staying hurdler, of course.
Well, he was. That. He's going to end up running at the big tracks sooner or later.
Second to Paisley Park.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to end up running in the big tracks, you know, Cheltenham, Newbury and all that. And at that point, I just think a little horse like him's going to just not going to be up to it, I think, against, you know, proper chasing built horses.
So Windsor Avenue, Sam Spinner. Is that how we're playing this, lads?
I'd agree with Keith there. Like, as in, Sam Spinner isn't one I'd bouncing for Cheltenham or Ainsley at, but I think tomorrow with, like, just the three runners, I think tomorrow's the day when he'll get his brain to win.
Yeah. Well, absolutely, and he has the option to make it a test, which, as we said, is what's going to suit him relative to Windsor Avenue.
Great stuff. So just the three runners, but an awful lot we could have kept going on talking about that, guys, couldn't we? Let's move on then. The Summit Juvenile Hurdle at 2:45, Grade 2. One down the line by Peace & Co. for Henderson before he went on, of course. That shows us we can get a Triumph Hurdle winner. And he's got Thomas de Sale in this. I think I said that right. Lord Lamington as well. He's in the race. He impressed me at Market Race, and I analysed that race. I think that's going to work out to be good for him. Navajo Pass turned over at Newcastle last time. Still might have a bit of improvement in him. And Passe, I thought, was quite interesting as well. Frank, can you give us a lowdown on the prices here, please?
Yeah, Thomas de Sale is 11-8. Lord Lamington, 7-2. Navajo Pass, 4-1. Paceo, 5-1. And we're 8-1 bar.
And Frank, your idea of the winner?
Oh, well, I think the market will tell you here. I don't think the ones we've seen in the UK are setting an overly high standard. Laura Lamington was pretty decent at Market Racing, but as you alluded to earlier, Peace & Co was introduced in this race for the same connections in 2014, and they won it 2 years ago. We Have a Dream, who'd had one start at Warwick already. But if this Tom de Sale is fancied, I think it'll go off odds on. Like, if they think it's a proper trying force, I could see it going off 4-7. I'm not an expert on French form, but I did look at his third in a listed race at Boy, the second to win a listed race after that, and the fourth won a Grade 3 at Otoy as well. So the form is probably useful enough, and, you know, Nicky has a habit of improving these ones from France as well, and if he does, he'll probably be difficult to beat, albeit I'm guessing a little bit.
Peace & Co, and We Have a Dream, as Frank quite rightly pointed out, two big, massive improvers having coming over from France. This is a case of, again, watch the market, I guess, Keith.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think you can preempt the market a little bit because of what we've referred to. You know, these connections have sent some of their very best juveniles up to this race as a first go in Britain. They knew Peace & Co was good before they sent him there, and he won by half the track. This Tombi de Sale, I watched that French race that she was third in the listed race, green as grass. She is. She's going to keep improving for experience. She only had three runs in France, so there's lots of room for her to keep improving. As Frank says, the form's worked out fairly well. You know, you are having to, again, like we said earlier, open the box and see what's inside, but there's every indication that this race, which doesn't, the British horses haven't got hugely brilliant form behind them, to say that a horse that's going to, if she is sort of 135, 140 straight away, which, you know, vibes are she might be, yeah, 4-7 would be about the price, wouldn't it? So I would still be, I'd rather back her at, you know, 4-7 than at 9-4.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the fact that they're coming here with this probably does sort of sum it up. Lord Lamington, I was impressed with, though. He was okay on the flat, wasn't he? Waiting to jump a hurdle. The fact they're turning him out quickly.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at races like this, I just think, really, unless the market is completely the other way. Like if Thomas de Sale is 5-1 and we're sitting here going, right, could be anything, then I'll take a chance on Thomas de Sale. But I mean, when we're sitting here and looking at her at 6-4, I just think that you've got to go with what you know, what we know already. We know that Navajo Pass is a smart type. He was good also on the flat.
Probably try and make it, you'd imagine, wouldn't he?
He's going to go out there and make it. He's got the best hurdles form already. Yes, he was beaten by Tavis, and he's probably not going to be a Triumph Hurdle Horse. And Thomas de Sale might well be, could be the X factor horse. But then it comes down to price, doesn't it? You know, if I was looking at Thomas de Sale and saying, well, yeah, 3-4-1, I'll take a chance on that. That might be top class. But we're not looking at that. We're looking at 13-8 to Fav, and we're looking at 4-1, the horse that's got the strongest form, the solid type in the race, at that sort of price. Yeah, never hold pass for me.
It might, just talk about tactics, it might be irrelevant given he's changed yards since, but Tombi de Sale tried to make all in that listed race.
Okay, so there we go, which would suit Lord Lamington down to the ground. The more you look at this Doncaster card, the better it gets. And one of the most overbet horses of the entire weekend could be coming up in the 320. It's the Bet365 handicap chase over 3 miles, 0-150. Frank Hickey, can you please give us some prices?
Yeah, Cloth Cap is 10-11, My Old Gold 7-4, Treacle Tart 5-1, and Fourth Grade is 7-1.
Cloth Cap, bit of an eye catcher again, wasn't he? This is, you just get the feeling. It was third in the Scottish National. Mm-hmm. They're probably plotting a route around the National. It's Hemmings, isn't it? He was a big eye catcher at Ascot. It was in a race where you had to be up there. He was the only one to make any significant ground. I think I wrote in the analysis he wants more of a test. Interesting that, they're going to Donny. I think they're looking for the ground for him.
Potentially. He wants better ground, but he also wants a real grim test. And he's not probably going to get that. They're also running him quite a lot because they need to get his mark up to get him in the National. He's rated 136.
Sentiments you'd echo?
Yeah, I couldn't have cloth cap at the price. I mean, that is probably the best piece of form on offer last time at Ascot. And obviously, I've backed Goodman Pat for the big race at Cheltenham, who was fourth in the race. So, you know, I don't really want to be taking that form on, really. But it's price dictates, don't it? And cloth cap, as Keith said, this is going to be tactical. This is not going to be cloth cap sort of race. It looks like an out-and-out stayer. I don't think I want to be backing him at that sort of price in this sort of race.
Cloth cap, is he going to go even shorter, or is this going to be a drifter with a tactical cat and mouse likely?
Oh, gee, it's very difficult. I'd imagine he might drift a little bit, as you said, because he wants the right test. But it wouldn't be the kind of race now that would interest me from a betting point of view, because I think he's the best horse in the race. I think he's still well handicapped, and he'd be one I'd definitely be keeping an eye on. With the festivals in mind, if he gets decent ground in the spring, I wouldn't be surprised if you see him rock up in something like the Ultima on the first day of Cheltenham if the ground's maybe no worse than good to soft in places.
He is a fascinating horse, isn't he? Yeah.
Hopping, yeah.
I backed him for the Kim Muir anti-post last year, he didn't run.
Yeah, the only problem with the Kim Muir is the world with mother is going to be backing that Glen Low, isn't it?
Yeah. Aren't they? Yes. Yeah.
Maybe they might keep away from that. But yeah, as I said, I'd expect he might be able to win, and they're looking at this race to bump up his mark a little bit to get him into all maybe the National eventually, but like the better handicap chases in the spring. But it wouldn't probably tempt me this race to have a bet.
Okay, it's Saturday, so don't forget we're also racing at Hereford, fair card there, Newcastle, and a bumper 8 race meeting at Wolverhampton as well. Okay, before we go to the naps, do we have a next best? Just quickly chats from you all.
Yeah, I've got a couple of Eamon and Kernock in the 120 at Cheltenham.
Oh, he's a horse I've done some dough on.
Yeah, loves Cheltenham, loves soft ground. Let's hope that he gets his conditions. See the stuck first time blinkers on him. He can be a bit on off the bridle. I think he drops back to 2 miles here. I think that'll suit him. Okay. And one at Wolverhampton, 550 Cooper River.
Love it.
Yeah, Roger Fell, Paul O'Muir rides. Ran well 2 starts ago. It was a bit disappointing last time, only last week, but I thought it was interesting they're turning Cooper River out quite quickly. I think she could win the 550 at Wolverhampton.
Thank you, Graham. Keith?
Got a few, actually. Have you priced at the 1 o'clock at Donny at all, Frank?
We haven't as yet. Haven't. No.
I'll be interested because Sky Pirates probably going to be extremely popular. Oh. Shaped extremely well at Ascot. They thought the backed him like the feet was out of the question.
Yep.
Jumped left all day and still shaped like a really interesting horse.
And the ground probably against him.
Possibly, yeah. So that could end up dotting up. But I also anticipate him being a really, really short price. And I also quite like Storm Control in the race. So I will be betting in that race. I'll probably wait to see prices before I decide what way to go. Sky Pirate could end up being really short. But if he's not, if you're getting a reasonable price about him, I would be backing him. Otherwise, you know, there is an option to go against him if you think he's a bit too short. He's been overbet here. At Cheltenham, I've actually gone against him. I think Destry is in a really weak race. And, you know, you see...
Running the Holden, wasn't
it? Holden Gold Cup, he's finished well clear of everything else with Janica and Dolos. They both ran in the Tingle Creek last time. He is now running in a not to 150 at Cheltenham that is actually quite weak for the money. Could just be a cut above all of them. And at Hereford, I've actually got a couple which I wouldn't have expected to particularly say. Benenchenko in the 12 o'clock, shaped really well in a steadily
guy catcher.
Yeah, Taunton. He was only one off the pace to make up round when they all finished in a heap. Really did catch the eye there, so I think he'll really run well at Hereford in the 12 o'clock. And then the 110, the one that's been catching my eye all bloody winter and autumn, is Annie Bonney in the final of the Mayor's series. Now she, I think she's been building up to something. She's rated 106 and gets a chance to race for 21,000 to the winner or something here. If that's not a target, I don't know what is. So she's a horse I'll be looking at really deeply in the bets for the 110 at Hereford.
This is turning into a super Saturday, isn't it? Frank, what have you got away from your naps? Anything interesting?
Yeah, there's a couple of interesting ones. I'm quite interested to see how Champagne Platinum gets on over fences in the 12:45 Cheltenham. I'm not sure if I could back him. It's quite a good race. Good Boy Bobby's in there. He has a £5 penalty, and Mr. Fisher's in there as well. So it is quite a useful race. But like this horse won a point to point very impressively in April 2018. Was sold to J.P. McManus for £250,000. He's won his first 2 hurdle races impressively enough. The form isn't up to much. Was tried at Grade One level at Punchestown last April. He'd obviously had a setback prior to Cheltenham and missed Cheltenham. He was disappointing fifth that day. he'd probably be a better chaser. The fact he was a point winner, winning over 3 miles, 2.5 miles over fences, suit him better. The one worry he would have is that he's obviously had a bit of issue last year, and his hurdles rating is 137, and they may well be eyeing up a nice mark for the spring. That'd be my one worry. But it'd be interesting to see how he gets on tomorrow. In Doncaster, I got Pirate in. He travelled really well last, but I think the soft ground probably was against him. He went short in the run that day, looked for the world. He was going to win back in a bit of better ground at Doncaster. I think he'll take a bit of beating, hopefully. And of course, he's got the brilliant young Jonjo O'Neill on board as well, who I think is absolutely outstanding. And just one more, Newcastle 12-15. Yamato for John McConnell goes over, perhaps looking for a bit of Christmas money. This horse was quite impressed by Wolverhampton the last day. I don't know if anyone remembers. It shot clear in the straight, went by, say, 6 or 7 lengths clear. Sean Davis eased up about 40 or 50 yards from the line, and he nearly got nabbed by Falcon Cliffs. Literally won the photograph, but he was miles the best. Now, Falcon Cliffs has actually won twice since, and is probably going to be £10 higher when reassessed for his win the other night. Yamat only went up £8, probably quite fair, and it looks quite a weak race. I think he'll probably take a bit of beating in that Newcastle 12-15.
One from the all-weather. And you mentioned that chat name, that Champagne Platinum, that Derek O'Connor put him up in his tent to follow when asked about the competition. I thought that was absolutely fascinating as well. Okay, there we go then. Plenty for you to look at, but who are the ones that matter? Now it's time for the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Frank Hickey, one that the Hickey money must get right.
Yeah, I'm going to take a chance that Tom de Seal is one of Henderson's triumph horses and put him up in the 240 at Doncaster.
Thank you very much. Keith?
Destry, I think, is the best bet. I think that could just win.
Destry, top weight.
Call Me Lord, 305, Chapman.
305. And for what it's worth, Lust for Glory for me in that mare's handicap. Okay, quick break, and then we're going to look at Sunday's action.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back then. Well, we're very close to the Christmas bumper Irish programme at the moment, but still, there's a tasty card at Navan on Sunday. Some of the key races, of course, the Navan Novice Hurdle Grade 2, won by some top-notchers. 12:30, mind-bogglingly difficult-looking Tara Handicap Hurdle Grade B over 2 mile 4. And the Elliott Benefit, as we're calling it here in the studio, the 3:10 Future Champions Flat Race, been won by M. Boy Allen and the likes. Let's have a quick word about Andy Dufresne. Frank, maybe I'll just come to you at this stage. Is he your favourite for the Albert Bartlett at the minute? This is 2 mile 4, isn't it, on Sunday?
I'll have to check. I wouldn't have thought that would be the route he'd go myself. I didn't think so. I'll just tell you there now what price he is for the Albert Bartlett. He's second favourite behind Pine Hill at 12-1. He's a horse that really excites me. I think he's brilliant. That race at Navan could be underestimated a little bit. I think the second, Cobbler's Way, I think, is very good. He was an impressive winner of a bumper at Limerick. The third, Alpine Cobra, was well back when winning a maiden hurdle at, I think, Punchestown, and was only just touched off. Beaten maybe 2 lengths at Cork in the Grade 3. Was it last weekend or the weekend before? Yeah. That form is already working out. To me, I'm absolutely in love with him. I think he's a superstar. I wouldn't be surprised if they kept him and Envoy Allen apart, and Envoy Allen went supreme or even champion, and he went in the Ballymore. I'm just guessing now, but to me, Andy Dufresne is a horse to follow for the rest of the year. I think he's going to be an absolute tool.
This is a key point of the season, lads, isn't it? Because, as Frank just said there, where are we going to go with these novices? They're nearly all favourite for the races. It all depends on Envoy Allen, who won the bumper on this card last year. Will he go supreme? Is it point horse? Will he go 2-4? Somebody's got to end up in the Albert Bartlett. Keith, where do you see this chap, Andy Dufresne, ending up?
He's got a style of racing that probably will suit the Ballymore more than any other. The Ballymore tends to be a race that, it's been talked about that it's a race that has informed the champion hurdle more than you might have expected, given the Supreme exists. It's because it's not actually run at that much of a pace a lot of the time. And Andy Dufresne has shown in races that haven't actually been that quickly running, then he's shown the ability to quicken away nicely. So I think, I agree with Frank, I think he might be the Ballymore horse.
Can jump, can't he?
Oh, he certainly does. Absolutely, yeah, he definitely does. He's a really, really slick jumper. So I can see him going the Ballymore route, and it'll just be a case on Saturday. Sunday, I wouldn't know the form back to front, but it'll be a case of seeing him tested against sort of worthy rivals and seeing how he goes on with that.
Andy Dufresne, breakout horse for you, or...?
Yeah, massively exciting. Also, obviously, Gordon Elliott has got a huge reputation on him. And
reference to the name fans. There, of course.
Honestly, I was
waiting all show to do that.
Nearly stormed out at that as well. Terrible.
That was the aim, Keith. That was the aim. Yeah, okay. Yeah,
he's obviously top class. Yeah, I mean, that's really the only interest in me at Nava. And I'll have one bet at Carlisle. Tax me if you can. 155 runs in the... attempts qualifier. I think there's only five in it now.
Keith Dalglish.
Real tough, hardy, genuine type, like soft ground stays well. I think that will suit him. Tax me if you can. 155 Carlisle. And that's me all tipped out.
Well, that is a massive shock for starters. Keith, just before I go back to Frank, I'm going to have a quick word about the bumper at Navan. Anything else on Sunday?
I'm going to have one bit of Carlisle probably. I'll probably back Cloudy Glenn. I thought he did too much over 3 miles at Exeter last time. Comes back and trip a little bit at Carlisle. I think he'll go really well.
Yeah, for most of that race, he looked a horse on
the
terms with himself.
Really, really did take well to it, didn't he? And I just think either the trip or the lack of a recent run found him out a little.
Frank, Sunday at Navan. This bumper has thrown them all up, hasn't it? I think five of the last 10, Elliott's won, he's on a five-timer in the race. Sam Crow, Death Duty, Envoy Allen, Don Cossack. Is there another one in there?
Well, this Pencil Full of Lead was impressive enough on his bumper debut. He's probably the one to beat. I'd be keen enough to maybe take him on with Uhtred for Joseph O'Brien. This horse won that valuable sales bumper at Fairy House last Easter. Came really strong finish, I remember, because I backed the Sam Curling horse, Tuvello, and I thought for all the world I was collecting about half the furlong out, and this horse showed an unbelievable turn of foot to pick him up. Now, he was very weak at his hurdles debut at Cork about a month ago. Just to me, he was going to benefit Penty for the run. I think he might put up the favourite. And just to mention, the 12:30, the decent handicap hurdle, there's one to keep an eye on. Now, tomorrow might not be the day, but Barwell for Keith Henry Clark. This horse is actually quite useful on the flap and trained by Michael Dodds. On its it won easy on its last start off a mark of 81, I believe. But it's the run just before that when he was second to Alfaris that really caught my eye. Now, Alfaris is running that day off a mark 84. And he was only beaten, I think, a head that day. Alfaris ended up being rated 104 before moving to Australia. The Third Statesman was running off 79. Again, he's moved off abroad as well. And he was rated 87 when he left. And Redetian, of course, the Adonis winner, was fourth that day. So that form was pretty decent. And Barwell switched from Michael Dodd to Alan Fleming's time, was a very impressive winner of his maiden hurdle at Wexford in October last year. But I think he sustained a very bad cut that day. He won by 10 lengths. He was second favourite behind the hot pot of Woody Mullins. But he was very impressive, got a bad cut, has been off since. He's going handicapping off mark 125. He's rated 89 on the flat, so there's potential off that mark 125. It's just how fit he's going to be after the absence. But he's definitely one to keep an eye on. I think he could develop into a horse maybe that could rate close to 140 before the year is out.
Thanks for that, Frank. Okay, so much. This felt like a belting show, didn't it? If you enjoyed it out there, don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and put your comments on the YouTube page that we've got. They're always fascinating to read. For myself, Dave Orton, until next week, be lucky.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators, available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.